before Christmas. And neighbors were good friends, husband and wife, good friends with each other. And the wives decided to go Christmas shopping and asked the men if they would come along. Why are you laughing? You must know the answer. And they decided, nope, they didn't want to go Christmas shopping. They decided that they wanted to take their sailboat out. And so that this one neighbor had gotten a new sailboat, and he said, let's go. And so they headed out to the bay with their sailboat. And as God's chastening would have it, they ran into a storm. I mean, God's chastening in a sense of not listening to their wives, but joking. But these men were out in their sailboat, and a storm came up. The sea became very angry, and the men had great difficulty keeping the boat under control. As they maneuvered their way toward land, and I've done this, they hit a sandbar. And when they hit the sandbar, they decided they better get out and try to push the sailboat off of the sandbar. With all their strength, they were pushing and trying to get the boat into deeper water. With their feet almost knee-deep in mud and the waves bouncing against the side of the boat, their hair blowing wildly in the wind, one of the men said with a grin, "It sure beats Christmas shopping, doesn't it?" Amen. It sure beats Christmas shopping, doesn't it? Only a man would say that under those circumstances. We've been talking about, of course, the gifts that God gives at Christmas. And the gift this morning that God gave at last week was hope. I should mention last week, God gave hope to the world. You know, in the midst of a very pressure-filled world out there, God gives us hope. Not only hope in this present time, hope past in the prophecies that the Messiah would come. Think about that. Waiting all those years, over 2,000 years, waiting for their Messiah to come. And then finally he came, and of course you know the rest of the story. The only people that really understood that he came was the people to whom God revealed it. I was thinking about waiting, and I heard, I didn't hear this story, but it's a true story about a man in Cleveland. Maybe you've heard this story, a guy in Cleveland. And before the season, he decided that he was going to grow a beard. And he would shave his beard. He's a weatherman for a TV station, well-known TV station there in Cleveland. And he decided he was going to shave his beard when the Cleveland Browns won their first game. True. I'm dead serious. You're familiar with this, Carl? This is true. You can look it up. And this guy, of course, Cleveland's 0-12. And it showed his picture of his beard after so many times, and now it's out here, but he's still waiting to shave his beard. He may be waiting till next year for Cleveland to win a game. But the Jews waited a long time, and then finally, when they were least expecting it, Messiah was born. And in an obscure place, and laid in a manger, an animal feeding trough. And the Son of God, the Word made flesh, came into this world to save the world. Today we're talking about love, but that his coming gave hope and gives us the hope, honestly, the hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before the world began. He promised to give eternal life to those who would believe in his only Son, Jesus Christ. Which takes us to the verse today on love. I'm going to light this second candle in our Advent candle wreath. It is the candle of love. Next week will be joy, and Pastor Aaron will be speaking. But in this candle of love, we find that Christmas really is all about, not all about, but much about love. When I sing these carols, you may know the names of them. I might ask you to name this carol. We're snuggled up together like two birds in a feather would be. What's that hymn? What's that? Not a hymn, but song. We're snuggled up together like. So what's the song? Sleigh ride, yeah. Ding, ding. When we finally kiss goodnight, how I hate going out in the storm. But if you really hold me tight, all the way home will be warm. What is it? Let it snow, let it snow. Ding, ding. Good. All right. Decorations of red on a green Christmas tree won't be the same, dear, if you're not here with me. That's not as easy. What is it? Who said it? Who said it? Eric, blue, blue Christmas. That's right. A blue, blue, ding, ding. You got it. All right. Please have snow and mistletoe and presents under the tree. What is it? I'll be home for Christmas. Good. You guys are really good. In the meadow we can build a snowman and pretend that he is. He'll say, are you married? We'll say, no, man. But you can do the job when you're in town. Winter Wonderland. Okay, so you get the idea that a lot of the Christmas songs were written about romance. Did you know, according to Brides Magazine, just I think it's 2014, what is the number one time that people get engaged? Christmas. Valentine's Day? Anybody believe Valentine's Day? One, two, three. How many believe Christmas? How many believe Christmas Eve? Christmas Eve is the correct answer. The number one time when people get engaged is Christmas Eve. The second is Christmas Day. The third is New Year's Day. And the fourth is Valentine's. Now, I guess I got your attention. But you notice that Valentine's Day is usually the one that gets the most attention for love. But the most popular is Christmas Eve. And I think that love has been the story of God's care of man from the very beginning. God loved, and he created us. Think of this. He created you and me in his image. And the reason he created us in his image is that he wanted to have a relationship of love with us. And that's why he created us, is because he wanted a relationship of love. God's love was with Adam and Eve in the garden, both before and after sin entered the world. God showed his love by giving grace to Noah and saving man and giving them a second chance. But he turned his love inside out when he sent his only son into the world. The story of what love is in truth not about a feeling, though. It's God's story of love in action. It is a story of action. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. How much did he love man? I remember, I believe it was May the, remind me, Diane, 2006, May the 4th. That wasn't when we got married, but no. May the 4th, 2006, our first grandchild, our first grandson was born into the world. And everybody's name changed overnight. My name changed to Grandpa. My wife's name changed to Grandma. My daughter, Charity's name changed to Mother. Right? You understand? Even our daughters, Melody and Krista, their names changed to Aunt. Now, when they had that first grandson, that first son to them, think about this. Do you think that their dad, Aaron, would give his grandson up to die for somebody else? No. He loved his son so much that he would protect his son from any danger, right? But God so loved us that he gave his only begotten son. Why? That whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Christmas is about love, but love not the feeling, but love that sacrificed their life so that we could be with him eternity. Love is the second gift of Christmas, and we're going to unwrap it today. And of course, I remind us that the word Advent means arrival. When we talk about the Advent, we're talking about the arrival of the Son of God. When Jesus comes again, that's his second Advent, his second coming, his second arrival to the earth. So Advent is not just the present that we look at back on Christmas, but it's today and as well in the future. Now, during Advent, we light these candles on the wreath, and we lit the second candle of love, emphasizing that God gave love at Christmas. Now, so what do we do with this gift of love? What do we need to do with this gift? This gift of love. What do you need to do? First of all, you need to take it. You need to accept it. A gift must be accepted. And accepting it isn't always the easiest thing. It was for me. As you well know, I was a pagan sinner at 21 years old. I was as hedonistic as a 21-year-old hippie could be. But there's a lot of people in this world who live good moral lives. And they're, maybe it's a word, too proud, or they don't see their need. They don't see the need that they have to accept Jesus Christ. They're good. They hope that they'll get to heaven because they've always been a good person. I remind you of a true story. This is a true story of a man who was a multimillionaire, very wealthy man. And he had friends, and they were wealthy too, but not as wealthy as him. And he had talked and talked and talked and tried to get his friends. He was a Christian. And he wanted to get his friends to come and believe in Jesus Christ too. Because he knew that they would never have eternal life if they wouldn't accept him into their life. And he pleaded with them and talked with them, and they said, "No, we're not interested. We're not interested. It's nice for you, and we love you, and we're happy for you, but we're not interested." So he decided he was going to try something different, and he wrote out a check for $1 million. $1 million. And he gave it to each one of his friends. $1 million. He was good for that $1 million. And he handed them all a check for $1 million. And they said, "Oh, no, we can't take that. We can't take that gift. Are you crazy?" He says, "No, I want you to know that the gift of God is far worth more, far more than $1 million. But none of them would take and cash his check for $1 million because they had enough. And a lot of people in the world won't accept the gift of love. You understand that, don't you, Mac? You understand what it is to grow up in church and be morally good and to think you're morally good. But it took a while for Mac to see that he was lost and needed a Savior, Christ the Lord. And God opened his heart and his eyes one day, and he saw the need. But the first thing we need to do with this gift of love is to accept this gift. John 3:16, again, I remind us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have eternal life. God's love in sending Jesus, hear this, is the one love that changes everything. It's a love that changes everything in your life. It is a love that will change not only where you're going when you die, but it will change what you live for the rest of your life. It's such a great love. This act of the Father sending his only Son was and is the ultimate gift of infinite love. You know what? Think about the ultimate thing you could ever want, and it could be to win the lottery, right? Some people want to win the lottery. I mean, who couldn't? I mean, $250 million cash settlement? That's crazy, isn't it? The ultimate thing that this world could offer you, but the greatest gift that will ever be offered to you is a gift that Jesus Christ paid for and offers to you as a gift. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Have you taken and accepted and opened this gift and made this gift of Jesus Christ and invited him into your life to live and be your Savior? The message of this verse is the core of what we believe. So it makes sense that as we unwrap this gift of love today, we should start right there. It's a gift. And notice, though it's basic, it's not easy to do. It's something we have to humble ourselves to take and to see, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy of this gift. You know, when John writes, for God so loved the world, he wasn't talking about the vast numbers of people in the world. To John's theology, the world was a place called evil. Jesus says, the world will hate you. Jesus said that this world lies in the lap of the wicked one. So John the Baptist probably said these words, for God so loved the world. He was talking about, for God so loved sinners. He was talking about God so loved the wicked of this world. And that's why I say that it's so hard, because you have to see you're a sinner. You have to see that you need desperately Jesus Christ as your Savior. You need him desperately. And when I can't even emphasize how desperate, more desperate than a man that's out in the Sahara Desert and has no water, is lying in the sand. You need Jesus Christ more than that man today. You need Christ, and he is there. And if you'll come to him as a sinner, he will not turn you away. I promise you that. Maybe you feel unlovable, as I did when I got saved. Maybe you've been burned by love too many times to trust that there's something greater. Maybe you think you don't know, or maybe you think like I did, you don't. When that man said, God loves you, and I said, Mister, this is, I remember the word so good, Mister, you don't know me. God couldn't love me. God couldn't love me. That's honestly how I looked at my life. God could not love me. I was so dark and so deceitful and so full of anger and rebellion. And then he showed me the verse that changed everything. God demonstrated his love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And I said, well, if Christ died for sinners, then Christ died for me. And that's why Jesus came, isn't it? I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repent and to believe. Now, the love that God offers is Jesus Christ. And no matter what challenges you're facing or holding on to your own goodness or your unworthiness, whatever is holding you back, I would say this, God knows and he understands, but he calls you with a response of open arms to his perfect love. Come to my son. And so wherever you are this morning, I encourage you to accept the gift of God's love. And let this season of Christmas be one of accepting the salvation that Jesus came to give. Secondly, experience his love. Experience his love. Experience his love. And when I say experience, what is experience? Experience is more than a feeling. Experience is, let me see if I can illustrate it this way. I can't explain how, and I don't know why. But when I came to Jesus Christ that day, April the 24th, 1974, I experienced something that changed someone, that changed my life. And I walked out of that church, and from that day on, I walked with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was always with me. And I experienced firsthand walking. You know what I'm talking about. Walking and talking with the person who's right there all the time. Now, that's really cool. I mean, I'm talking about really cool that Jesus is there when I go to work. When I went to bed, he was there when I got up in the morning. He was there when I walked out the door. He was there when I was eating breakfast and sat down and read his Bible, his words. He was there. He was real. I'm talking about I experienced him. It wasn't just a Sunday come to church thing. You understand what I'm saying? A lot of people miss Christianity by a Sunday come to church mentality. They think they're a Christian because they go to church on Sunday. But Christianity is everything. And Jesus was everything to me. I mean, I've told you this, and it's true. I wouldn't get a haircut to get a job. Harvison Walker in Clearfield, he said, I'll give you a job if you'll get a haircut. And I was desperate for a job, but I wouldn't get my haircut. That's the vain truth. I had this long hair, and I wouldn't get my haircut. It was pretty. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. But seriously, I wouldn't get my haircut. But this is also a true story. When I became a Christian, a man came up to me and he shared a verse that said that long hair on a man is unnatural. And I went out and got a haircut the next day. I got my ears sunburned in the Florida sun. Now I'm just saying, why? I'm going to tell you the honest truth why, whether he was right or whether he, I'm not going to, it doesn't matter. Because if Jesus Christ, whatever he wanted, I was willing to do. I was just willing to do anything. And I, you know that. But when you experience the love of Christ, he changes everything. And we need to, at Christmas, experience love. Experience that love. It's life-changing. And it's beautiful. And you've never had a love like that love. Let me tell you that. You never have, and you never will have a love that's like the love that you have and you, Jesus has for you and you have for Jesus. There's no greater love than this, than he who laid down his life for us. The greatest love experience that any of us have ever had is the love that God has for us that changes everything. And we love him because he first loved us. Experience his love. This is a powerful love, the most powerful love. It's a love that can't be contained or constrained by any power in the universe. No evil, no death, no person or power can quench the love of God. I could talk so much about how I wanted Jesus Christ. He was the lifeblood. He was the oxygen coursing through my veins. I continually wanted to be filled with his life. Now, I want to say this. Before you get the idea that I was the second Apostle Paul, let me share with you that such a high is very difficult to sustain. I remember one time walking so close with Jesus, and I know this will sound weird, but I even asked him to walk on water. I said, "Are you crazy?" I was. I was crazy. I thought, bring it on. if God wanted, but I knew, I gradually grew up and I couldn't sustain that kind of thingajig. I was still flesh and I failed in not always obeying, not always pleasing the Lord. I even lived with the nagging question. This is true. In those early days and for the first almost 2 years of my life, Christian life, I lived with the nagging, haunting question in my mind. How can you be saved and think and make some of the choices that you make? My eyes, as far as understanding salvation, were like a newborn baby, still blurry. But as I grew in knowing God and the Word of God, I realized one day a huge piece of salvation in the word grace. Grace. Grace is a huge word in salvation. It's the difference between true salvation and not being saved. Grace. I was saved by grace and I was being kept by grace, and I will always be saved for all eternity by grace through faith in Jesus Christ's saving work in dying for my sins. Jesus is the Savior who sought me. He revealed himself to me. He chose me. He called me. He initiated the rescue and completes his salvation in and through me. You know, Philippians 1:6 says, and I like this in the New Living Translation, and I am certain, hear this, and I am certain that God, who began a good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Jesus Christ returns. He who began a good work in you will complete it. And I'm just trying to say to you, my dear Brandon, trust Jesus Christ. He who began a good work in you will complete it. He loves you. Many of you know Brandon. I'm going to tell a little bit about Brandon. Brandon, of course, as you know, was in the Pyramid Program. an alcoholic. Graduated from high school with no goals, no aim, no purpose. His mother, his dad was deceased. Graduated from Indiana High School in Indiana, Pennsylvania. Very smart young man. But he made a terrible mistake one night when he was drunk with his friends who were drunk, a friend who was drunk, and they stole a car. His friend stole it, and he went along with them. He wrecked the car. The guy wrecked the car, and they were arrested. And it scarred his life. Because most job applications asked, have you ever been convicted of a felony? And he's convicted of a felony. And he's struggling terribly to find a job. He had a job, was working with a Spherion, a temporary agency, and they all got laid off. That's happened to him twice. Now he has no job. He's filled out several applications. We'll take him out tomorrow. When I picked Brandon up from Indiana, he called. He didn't have any place to go. And he called, and Brandon, he was sleeping outside. He was on the streets, so to speak. One night, it was only one night. Brandon, you're going to have to forgive me, but this is important to what I'm getting at. Just one night, and I called my friend in Indiana, Scott Wigner, who we support as a missionary, IUP. Scott took him. He stayed overnight at Scott's. And we met each other, and I brought, and all he had with him was his backpack. That's all he had. All the possessions in this whole world were in his backpack. That's it. Try to think about that. Now, I want you to think about this reality, though. You talk about experiencing the love of God. Think about Jesus Christ. When he came into this world, he was born to common, poorer parents. When he went into he had nothing. He said, birds of the air have nests, the foxes have dens, but the Son of Man doesn't even have a place to lay his head down. Think about what Jesus Christ sacrificed in leaving heaven and leaving his throne and leaving the golden streets that are so pure that you can see through them and leaving the ivory palace and leaving all the wealth beyond human ever comprehension and being born in poverty and choosing to live with a backpack. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, it says this. Though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. That you through his poverty, what? Might be made rich. True riches are the riches that he gives. Eternal life, salvation, a kingdom, glory. True happiness. And he became poor that you might become rich. That hit me this Christmas because of that young man. That Jesus Christ would leave everything. Everything. And he didn't have to be born in poverty. You surely know that. He could have been born in a golden cradle and laid in a golden cradle, not a manger. He could have been fed with golden spoons, not a wooden spoon. You understand that. And yet he chose to be a servant. And coming as a man, what did he do? He became a servant. You know what a servant is? That's the lowest class of society. And that's the role Jesus came and took. Now, when I say you need to experience that love, I'm encouraging you to experience sacrificing maybe something you have to help and serve someone else at Christmas. We do something for single mothers in our class, our small group class. And we give something to single mothers at Christmas because I'm going to tell you, they're struggling. I can't begin to fathom how hard it is to be a single mother. Financially and in every way. Time, pressure, work. It's all so chaotic. But are you willing to give something up to help somebody else? Like Jesus Christ, who gave you the gift of eternal life. Experience his love. And lastly, I want you to share his love. He wants us to share, to go everywhere and share his love. There is no greater love than the love of Jesus Christ for you. And when you experience that love, I'm going to tell you something. You want to tell everybody. Right? I mean, you want to tell everybody. I mean, everywhere you go, people are going to know something's different about this guy. How many of you, when you got engaged, you told everybody? Anybody here? Several. Some of you younger people, when you got engaged, Emily Brock, did you put it on Facebook? You put it everywhere, right?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. I mean, you want everybody to know. I mean, marriage is a huge thing, and you want everybody to know. I'm getting hitched. You know, anybody here went to the ball game and put it on the Jumbotron and got engaged on Jumbotron? Anybody ever do anything silly like that? Anybody? We do some crazy things, don't we? To share with everybody. We're marrying the person of our love. And I'm saying if you, the love of Jesus Christ is sweeter than the sweetest thing in this world. And when you experience that love and that joy next week, you got to tell everybody. Remember the shepherds? The shepherds, the angels appeared to them and gave them the message, "For unto you was born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord," a Savior, the Messiah. "And this shall be a sign to you. You shall find the baby wrapped in swaddling bands of cloth and lying in a manger." Who puts a baby in a manger? There's nobody that puts a baby in a manger except God, to be a sign to those shepherds. And those shepherds went to Bethlehem. Just like that. They ran to Bethlehem and found Mary and the baby lying in a manger. And they were so excited. And do you remember how they left? They went everywhere telling them, everybody, the Savior's born. We need to share his love And at Christmas is a great time to share God's great love and invite somebody else. I mean, there are tracts, gospel tracts out there. There are invitations to these sermons that are the little cards out there that you can invite your neighbor to come to church with you next Sunday and hear the greatest preacher in the world, your youth minister, your family and youth pastor, Aaron Jeffrey. He's great. And if you get a teenager and he's rebellious, bring him. He'll change their life. I'm kidding. But I'm sick. We are in church. Yes. That's right. That's right. But seriously, I'm going to tell you something. I mean this with all my heart. I've thought so many times, this is a great church. This is a loving church. I asked for people to volunteer to take Brandon to work. Remember that? Was that 3 weeks ago? Before the week was up, I had four people. And every day was covered, and I took one. That's how easy it is around here to get help. Which reminds me, I need a big help. He's got to go somewhere. We're going on vacation. And we're going to somebody else's house. And if he finds a job, he's going to need to stay with somebody. If you could take in this great kid. And when I say he's a great kid, I mean he's not a great, great, great. He was a good kid. He's growing on me. He's honest. He can get in my house. He's been in my house. He could do whatever, but I trust him. And I'm saying that I would risk myself, my name, that you can trust him. If you have a bed that he could stay in for the week of Christmas, Christmas Day on through shortly after New Year's, I would appreciate that. And he would too. So, number one, you have to accept God's love. Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Number two, you need to experience God's love. It's life-changing. And number three, you need to share it. You need to share his love. This is Christmas. This is a celebration of Emmanuel, God with us, in the form of a baby. That's tremendous. I mean, if that's not a message, I don't know what a message is. You shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted as God with us. Jesus was God with us, died for our sins, and rose again the third day, and can forgive you because he died for your sins on that cross. And if you'll accept his gift of the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll accept his love for you, and believe that God raised him from the dead the third day, and he's alive, and he's seated at the right hand of the Father, and his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of the Son comes into your heart to live and changes your life. Have you accepted Jesus Christ into your life? Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you so much for this sound Bible message. And I pray that, Lord, if there's one here that's never accepted your love and believed in your Son, that you loved us so much that you gave him, that whoever would believe in him would never perish, but have everlasting life. For you sent not your Son into this world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believes on the Son has everlasting life. But he who does not believe on the Son shall not see life, and the wrath of God will abide over them. I pray, Lord God, that you might speak to some heart that you drew to be here today, even through the snow. You have them here for a reason. And I pray for your Holy Spirit to work in their heart to save them. In your name I pray, Christ. Amen.